Yeah, give it up for the Impact House. Yes. So cool.
Pastor Celine, this is the day that it all finishes and it opens up. This is our grand opening celebration and dedication service for our Impact House, and we're glad that you have joined us today. But this story starts this weekend 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We were at a conference in Minnesota, and while we're at this conference, the speaker challenged us to pray a dangerous prayer.
Yeah. He said, hey, pray a prayer. What is the bullseye for your church? All of us know, hey, as a church, we're supposed to be finding and helping people come to know Christ, and that is the focus of our church. But what are we as a church specifically supposed to be doing? And you prayed that prayer.
I prayed it, and God began to speak to me. He said, Focus Church is going to impact foster care in Dane County, and we're going to operate a house that does that impacting.
Yeah, and God dropped that in you, and you didn't keep it quiet, because literally like an hour later, he's like telling everybody, hey, we're going to impact foster care in Dane County. We're going to open a house. And I was like, we're going to open a house?
Like, I'm not quite sure I knew what I was getting myself into.
Not at all.
Because it wasn't our idea. It wasn't our plan. It wasn't our dream. It was simply an answer to prayer where God said, this is what Focus Church is going to do. And so we began learning and figuring out, what does it take? Like, what is foster? I didn't even know much about foster care.
You didn't really know anything about foster care.
Nothing. And yet, God knew what he was doing. God knew what dreams and plans he was putting together. And Shalee, as we began learning and finding out stuff, we began figuring out, well, you can't operate a home if you don't own a home.
Right.
And so we had to figure out, where were we going to get a home? And it opened up that last summer, we were able to buy one of the duplexes that borders our property here on the backside.
Yes, the gray house right over here.
The gray house right over here, just right behind us. And it was a miracle that even took place, that we had the finances to be able to do it, that they even accepted. It wasn't even for sale. We're just like, hey, do you want to sell to us? They're like, why? But God told us this is what we're supposed to do, and yeah. God made a way where there was no way.
Yeah, it was impossible. Through. This house had been in this family for like 40-something years. Mm-hmm. They were never going to sell. It was their retirement plan. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we kind of ran into somebody that said, hey, they were the grandkids of the people that owned the house, and they're like, our grandparents were never going to sell the house. We were all shocked by it. And we're like, well, that's because God does impossible things.
That's right. That's right. And so we closed on July 6th last year of 2023, and then began the process of, how do we make this house, this duplex, into something that God wants to use through Focus Church to impact foster care? Now, Pastor Shalee, when it comes to doing a dream like this that we've spent, it's 3 years in the making, this is not something that you and I can just do by ourselves.
No. It takes a whole village, a whole church family to do what God calls us to do.
Definitely. And it really is rooted in this idea that as a follower of Jesus, we're not just supposed to just sit around in a room once a week.
No.
We're not just supposed to just learn as much as we can about the Bible and just become the best students.
That's not it.
No, there's actually this whole other component of following Jesus that's probably just as important as actually saying yes to Jesus in the first place.
Yeah, something that we just keep, because once you say yes to Jesus, you're supposed to follow in his footsteps and keep doing what he wants you to do. And this is just a really good example of what God wants us to do.
Well, in Matthew chapter 25, it talks about how at the end, when the world is over, there's going to be this final judgment, and everyone's going to be divided up into two categories. That as Jesus describes it, as he's communicating this final judgment, he's saying that there's going to be a group that's considered righteous and a group that's considered unrighteous. And he said, this is what's going to mark the righteous ones that are over here to the side. And he's going to say to them, he said, hey, when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I didn't have any clothes on, you gave me clothes. When I didn't have a place to stay, you gave me a place to stay. And Jesus goes on to say that the people who he's saying these things to, the righteous, they're going to be like, Jesus, we don't know what you're talking about, because we never saw you needing clothes. We never saw you thirsty. We don't remember.
You needed
a place to stay. And he said, when you do those kinds of things to other people, when you help other people, it's like you're doing it to me. And so like the light bulb's going on, like I'm thinking when I'm studying this and I'm looking at this Pastor Shelley, I'm actually surprised that they didn't equate helping other people as helping Jesus. Mm-hmm. But they also considered that that was just something that you just do. That what marked the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous were people who helped people.
Yeah.
That they're, he goes on to say that the people who are considered unrighteous, that they start asking Jesus, well, we never saw you thirsty because Jesus, if you were thirsty, if we knew that you were thirsty, we'd be the first in line to give you a big old iced tea. But
Jesus says,
hey, you didn't even get it. You didn't understand. You didn't understand that this is what we do. As a matter of fact, that even when Jesus had spent time with his disciples and he spent time with ministry and everything, and there was a point that as he's about to complete his mission, which his mission was to come to this planet and to give his life up as a ransom for our sin, to die. That was why he came. He wanted to teach the disciples one last lesson.
Yeah, he was getting ready to have a meal with them. And it was customary for a servant to wash your feet before that happened. And John chapter 13, it says, hey, Jesus bent down and he decided to wash his disciples' feet. And at first, they didn't want him to do it because that's like a lowly job. And he said, yeah, you call me teacher, you call me master, but now I'm teaching you a lesson that you are a servant to all. And so as Christ followers, Jesus did a really dirty job. Like he washed people's feet, and Pastor Ryan, I don't know, I don't really want to do that so much.
I'm glad we don't have that as a job nowadays.
Yeah, me neither. People's feet can kind of be kind of yucky, I have to say. But so can, you know, mouse poop in an impact house. And the people that were sweeping that out are, you know, like I heard there was a dead animal in one of the window wells, and I'm really glad that day I wasn't there. But there's somebody here in this family that took care of that. And they said, and people were taking care of the dirty jobs and making Impact House happen. And it's just people who are being servants like Jesus.
Yeah. And it's saying that there is no job beneath us, that yeah. There's not a spot where you have arrived at a certain point to say, hey, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. But it's everyone saying, no, if Jesus could teach his final lesson of saying, hey, we serve others, even I serve others, I mean, that's the standard here at Focus Church, that when you're a part of this family, there's a reason why we wear shirts to say do something, why it says do something on the door, because we're not just saying, hey, we just love God and love people. No, we do something with it, and everybody does something.
Yeah, I say absolutely, and it can be things like serving the kids at Summer Explosion, or mm-hmm. showing up for Burst Thursday, or being here for summer camps, and different things like that. Because that's serving people, and so we want to be that.
It's
you and I want to be that. That's who we are.
It's
that's who
we
Focus
it's
Church is.
It's what we do. That's what this family does. That if you're a part of this family, just know, hey, we serve because that's what Jesus did. That's what we do. And when God gives a family dreams, ideas and plans, it doesn't happen unless the family comes together and everyone says, I'm in.
Yep.
I will do something with it. And as soon as we had bought the house, we realized this house is going to need some work because inhabitable.
If you saw it, that, well, I'm...
there were people living in it, but yes. I'm just saying, like...
It smelled really not very good.
No, it did not.
In fact, it was a little hard to walk in the house on sometimes. So yeah. When we first walked in, I was like, we had our team go over, and a lot of them just left.
They couldn't
handle the smell because it was pretty bad.
It was that bad. It wasn't that they were that weak. It was that bad.
It was that bad,
okay?
Yes.
It was bad. But you know what? There was an individual who came forward who's a part of this family who said, hey, do you need help with this?
Yeah, I don't know if he knew how bad it was when he said
or I'm not sure he knew what he was getting himself into.
Probably not. It's probably a good thing.
But we are thankful that he did step up, and we're going to talk to him for the next few moments. Will you guys help me in welcoming Abe Degnan to the stage here today? Come on up, Abe. So Abe came with the question. He's like, hey, who's going to organize, like, the contractors and what you're going to do for the remodeling and the permitting? And he just started blasting all these things. And I'm like, I don't know.
We bought a house.
We just bought a house.
And Abe was like, hey, if you'll let me, I will help. And here's something you got to know about Abe is that I'm not sure he has any time to help, or most people would say, he doesn't have time to do that. I mean, he runs two companies. He's got six kids and pets, because they count as kids too, right? And some would probably write you a pass to say, Abe, you got a lot on your plate. And yet you said, I have some skills, abilities, I'm willing. This is what we do when we're a Jesus follower. I can help. Why did you step forward to do this?
Well, when God tells you to do something, you must not hesitate. And that's a line from the Sound of Freedom last year, but it was what happened. And I knew that I had to answer. I mean, God has prepared me for this. I helped with an Extreme Makeover Home Edition 15 years ago. I led three Greenbuilt home makeover projects where we did this. This is just another version of what, and I run a business that remodels houses. So, you know, it's not like God hasn't given me the skill set and the opportunity and the people surrounding me to make this happen. It's all there. It's step up, do it.
And we're so thankful that Abe did, because what Abe took on was to say, hey, I will coordinate volunteers. I will coordinate contractors and subcontractors to get this product. I will get the permits and get the inspections that are needed so they were totally legal. And he went a step further. And Abe, it blew me away that you just off the back just started doing this. And I'm like, wow, yes, that's what we need. And what it was he said, you know what? Is it okay if I have some people I want to ask to donate to this project? Like, I want to go talk to my electrician, and I want to talk to a plumber, and I want to talk to a supplier, and is it okay if I ask them to donate? And I'm like, yes, yes, and he did, and so many people came out. Were there any of those donations that and people who stepped up that surprised you?
Well, you know, so some of them really went over and above, because when we transitioned from phase one, which was just the main level and replacing what was already there, mm-hmm. to step two and doing the basements and making five more bedrooms in this home, Drexel and American Enterprises Electric and Crookton Plumbing, I mean, they didn't just like double, they tripled or even quadrupled their donation because of the extent of the work that was there. But another really fun story is the countertops. The countertops is owned by this Chinese company. We've got a local fabricator who does this work, and I asked him for his connection, and he sent me to his distributor in Chicago, and the guy in Chicago, he emails his boss in China. And his boss in China, I get a call like on Friday night at 6 p.m. after hours, and he's like, my boss in China got back to me already. They're donating everything for the countertop materials. And that's fun because, I mean, it's not like I talk to these people. It's not like they're a group of fellow believers. They could be, I don't know, but not what you'd expect in China. And they said yes.
God's using people like around the world to impact
the
house.
To make this happen. And most of these people who made these donations or said yes to it, they did it based off of just an idea that we're going to impact foster care. Like, we didn't even know how we were going to use the house, but we just knew we're doing something. And I talked to that distributor from Chicago. Yeah. I got to meet him, and he said, you know, Pastor, whenever people ask us for a donation, we usually give like a percentage off. Like, you still got to buy it. He's like, this is the only thing I've ever seen in all my history in the company where they have just said, we're all in 100%.
Right.
I mean, and he used the phrase, this doesn't normally happen.
Right.
But we've come to learn here at Focus Church that phrase, this doesn't normally happen, is also a call sign that God is doing something that doesn't normally happen.
Yep. We pray, and then mm-hmm. we take action, mm-hmm. and then we let God do the work.
That's right.
He does amazing things.
He does. And so, Abe, we just want to say thank you for everything. And you not only you coordinated all these contractors, and you got all these people to donate and to be a part of this, and we partnered in managing the project and designing and everything, but I don't think we could have really done this project without the help of some family members here, some focused family members, who went not just regular volunteering on a work day, but really going above and beyond and doing extra, almost becoming like contractors themselves. Would you tell us just about a few of these stories of who went above and beyond in this church family and serving?
Well, you know, we had a bunch of do-something days where we had a whole bunch of people from church show up, and that's awesome because we have so many people that have personal investment in it because they spent some hours there, right? Yeah. But the people that went over and above to make this happen and helped take the burden off of me on some things, that's really important. And, you know, there's two people that stood out to me in particular for tasks that they did, which were supposed to be relatively easy things to do and just exploded into like two-day jobs, right? And Richard Springer and Alicia Saunders both took on a couple of critical tasks with that. But there's five people in particular who spent dozens and even hundreds of hours to do this work, and they deserve special recognition. Starting off with Madam Melissa Brown, who during the first phase took charge of all the trim painting that we needed, and everything that had to get done in that first phase, they made sure all the doors, all the windows, all the new trim that we were putting on was painted and prepared for us. But then we got to the flooring, and Jane has done some flooring before, but she doesn't truly know all there is to do about this click together flooring, and she learned. And not only did she learn, but then she took charge of it and taught other people how to do it. And when I couldn't be there teaching, she was there teaching. And she's well over 100 hours into this project, besides all the other stuff she did as well. But she was willing to take charge and teach other people in order to spread that around and make things happen. Another one is Chris Zimbrick, and he just steps up for any tasks that's needed. He and a lot of his messages are, I can be there for 45 minutes on this day. I can be there for 90 minutes on that day. And when I ask, I'm going to be there this Saturday, who can join me? He's the first one to join in and say yes for any task that's needed. But someone who really, really stands out is Courtney Simons, because on the second phase here, Matt and Melissa weren't available to paint all that trim, and Courtney did all the work that Matt and Melissa did and even more, and she had some help, but she did so much more than she ever imagined and did the work of two people and more. And then of course, I know who your best helper was, and of course, that's Dustin Ulrich, isn't it?
Yes, and I mean, all these people pulled together, and Abe and I kind of joint managed the project, that he did the long-term part of the major coordination, and then I was the guy to come in the last few weeks with all the punch lists and everything, because those lists add up of all the little details to get it ready for each phase, to make it ready. And Dustin was a guy who, he was by my side almost every step of the way, and that involved quite a few days where we were all through the night to the next morning, to where he left and he went to his job, you know, and just there to say, hey, we gotta get this done. And so these volunteers, they were an example of what it means to serve, which is, it's just amazing that we have people in our church family like that. And would you just give it up for all those that he mentioned here that went above and beyond? Now, Abe, you definitely went above and beyond in all the hours and everything that you put into making this dream, this God-given dream of Impact House, a reality as far as the construction and making it happen. And so we wanted to give you a token of our appreciation to say, hey, you are appreciated, that we don't take it lightly that you did this. And so we've got a gift for you. If you can bring that out, Caleb. No, just the, nope, yep. There you go. It's like, which
all
one is
secrets.
His? No, there you go. So we've got a card for you just to say, thank you. We've got, what's in there?
A couple of gift cards in there. One is, you know, a little home improvement gift card because, you know, he's a contractor.
Oh,
and,
wait, he needs a home improvement?
Well, he always needs something, I'm sure.
A tool.
Yeah,
a tool.
Of some sort.
A tool.
And then there's one for him to take his family out to dinner because they deserve it. I mean, he is a busy man. And they
my wife's favorite restaurant.
She's excited. Yep.
Perfect.
Getting some steak with the family. But you know what? Gift cards are Noah's going, yes,
yeah,
I want steak.
Yeah, I see a son back there, one of the
but,
kids.
Yes, we gave you a card and we gave you some gift cards, but we really wanted to find something small that would have a huge impact on what you do. And you know, for the guy who has everything, who runs companies, who has every tool, who has everything at his disposal, we had to search high and low for what could we give this guy that he would be like, this is something I don't have and yet I will put it to use. And we think we have found it. That we have found the thing that will blow his socks off, that's gonna be small, but has a big impact, just like you have had a big impact on this project. Kayla, bring it out. We have got you a video drone so that you can get aerial footage of all the projects that you do with it.
Wow.
What do you say, Abe?
I borrowed one from my friend last week
yes.
to figure out whether I was going to buy one.
Hey!
You nailed it.
We did it! And this is the one with extra batteries and extra parts, just in case you fly that drone into a tree.
like my friend did the other day.
There you go.
We climbed the tree and got it down.
There you go.
Resourceful.
So we just want to say thank you, Abe. You have been a blessing. Thanks for just be an example of being a servant and leading us through this project. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. The thing is, when I mentioned the number of volunteers and the volunteers, there's one person that I didn't point out, and I want to give special recognition to you, Pastor Ryan, as well for what you've done here. Because, you know, sure, you're the pastor. This is your job. This is your church. But you don't do anything halfway. And when you talk about getting things right and about leading by example, and you talk about the expectations of what we do in this church, you live this. And so I want to recognize you too and give you special thanks here as an over and above volunteer doing so much more than any other pastor that I've ever worked with in my life. So. Caleb, thank you.
Hey!
And
gotta keep something to keep
yeah.
him awake all night.
And so, you know, I know you like Dr. Zevia, and I'm pretty sure that has caffeine in it.
Yes, it does.
And,
yes, it does.
And on, you know, we
is
were
that
talking.
I drink coffee?
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta stay up somehow.
So yesterday morning, we were talking at the open house that we had for the contractors, and I woke up unusually early yesterday morning. I woke up on my weekday schedule instead of my weekend schedule. I'm like, man, why am I up? And I woke up praying. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm praying for. I'm just like, God, tell me, you know, I'm waking up. I must need to pray. And I discovered as we were talking later on that you were going to bed about the same time that I woke up. And so I think that's fitting and appropriate. And I think that's also why God woke me up at 5:15 on Saturday morning. But Caleb and Emma, yeah, please bring more because you brought me more, I'm bringing you more as well.
Are we doing another house? I got to go work some more.
I learned by example here because I know you like your Gatorade and
yes.
And then you know this is something just for the entire Fold Hazy family too because. The entire family's involved. I know you guys love Chick-fil-A, and
chicken.
I probably owe you reimbursement from you know the number of times that you've fed my kids. So let's double down on that there as well.
We'll take your kids with us this time.
And I just want to thank you, Ryan and Shalee, and the leadership team of this church and your whole family for what you've done to make this project happen.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Abe.
You. Let's give it up for Abe. Thank you so much, Abe.
Thank you, Abe.
We appreciate you. Now, that's just construction. But when it comes to how is this house even going to work, like how is it going to actually make an impact? How is it going to impact foster care? It really was influenced by this next couple that we're bringing up. And I want you to join me in welcoming Kirk and Sandy Brown to the stage as they come up here. So Kirk and Sandy Brown, we met them about a year and a half ago, and we met them. They were pastors here in Wisconsin, but for Shalee and I, like, we had to travel 1,000 miles to go meet them in Texas. Is how we were introduced to them. And like, so someone said, hey, we found someone else that's from Wisconsin. Do you know the Browns? And we're like, nope, we don't. But you know what? We found out we should know the Browns because God has asked the Browns to do something really neat, really special. See, they were pastoring a church in Toma as the lead pastors for about 12 years when God spoke to them and said, hey, I want you to leave this and you're going to do something different. You're going to do something new. And God was calling them to actually be missionaries to foster care, to be chaplains for foster care for the entire state of Wisconsin. Well, what would end up being Wisconsin. You're just like, we know we're going to work with foster care and what we're going to be. And so we had a meeting together, and there was some things that you shared in this meeting that really impacted where we were going with this house and how we were going to impact foster care. And it had to do with what God had put on your guys' heart as far as what stage are we helping young people who have experienced this. And you guys have a heart for kids who have aged out of foster care. And you shared some statistics with me that broke my heart. And it changed everything about what we are doing here as a church. Kirk, will you share these statistics with our family, what you shared with me?
Yeah, every year there's about 23,000 young people that age out of the foster system in our country. And right off the bat, about 20% or 1 in 5 of them end up homeless immediately. 50% of these young people that age out will become homeless within 2 years. 50% of them will end up with some kind of drug addiction as well. 60% of those that age out of the foster system, they'll end up in the sex industry some way, somehow, whether they're sex trafficked or they actually prostitute themselves. 60% of the young men that age out will end up committing a crime. A lot of them end up in prison. And then 70% of the young ladies that age out, they'll become pregnant by the age of 21, whether they're married or not, and a lot of their kids end up in the foster system. So what happens to these young people that age out statistically is not good. And two of the major things that they really need is housing and mentors, which the Impact House is going to do both.
Yeah, when I heard those statistics, maybe they affected you like they affected me, of like, wow, like that's dramatic. That's a big deal. And to even understand, like I told you, when we began this, we didn't know anything about foster care. And we had to learn what did it mean when we use the phrase aging out. And that means that a young person has been in foster care and they were never reunited with their family and no one adopted them. And so they've turned 18 and the government's like, see ya, we're not responsible for you anymore. And that is a critical time in launching into adulthood. And at the root of all those statistics was what you said, is that primary need is housing. And it's understandable that not having a place to live is a big deal, that when you've just been launched out into life with nothing at 18 years of age, with no family, you can't go to the local apartment complex and ask for a place to stay because you have no credit history, you have no rental history, you have no co-signer, you don't have your first month's deposits. And when you don't have that, they're always gonna tell you no. And when you don't know where you're sleeping tonight, it's impossible to dream about tomorrow. They can't even go there because the immediacy of, I have to have a roof over my head, I gotta be somewhere. And so the goal with Impact House is to create a residency program that steps into the gap here, that actually helps as the in-between to say, hey, if you rent a furnished room with us and go through our program, what we're going to do is we're going to help you get a place of your own. And with that, we're going to help you with rental history. We're going to help you with building credit. We're going to help you with saving for deposits. As a matter of fact, one of the things I love about our program is that if a young adult completes a lease with us, we're going to give them half their rent back. as their down payment for the next place. Yeah. And we're not considering the success of Impact House of being the fact that we are going to house young adults. No, the success is how many do we help launch into their own place? That's going to be the success of Impact House. And so we want to meet the two major needs, housing and mentorship. And that's where the Browns come in, because you guys, we love that you guys are here in the Madison area, that you're helping us, that we get to be your pilot program. But you have responsibilities around the whole state, that your goal is to help all of our churches do something when it comes to foster, because every church can do something. And I'm telling you, if Focus Church can do something in Dane County, then there better be hope for everybody, bridges of hope for every other church to do something. So, Sandy, why don't you tell us kind of what is this deal? How are we going to help on the mentoring side? Why do we need it? What are we going to do?
Well, mentorship is such a huge need. In fact, the first time that we met Priscilla, that county worker that works with these youth that age out, one of the first questions out of her mouth to us was, do you have mentors? I need mentors. And it's just so critical, because they need someone to just help guide them through life. And this mentor program will basically just be a once a month thing that meets at the church, where the young adults who've aged out will come here. We'll also meet with their mentors. So each young adult will be paired with someone who will be their mentor, someone to just walk through life with them, help them with some basic life skills. And this mentorship program, they'll just share a meal together, have a game, a fun time, but then also there will be a lesson on a particular life skill. And it's not just a life skill lesson, but it's a lesson that comes with a biblical perspective. So maybe money management, what does the Bible say about it? Self-care, what does the Bible say? And just be a real awesome time for these young adults to really get to know someone and get the help that they need. And I mean, it will start with obviously the five young ladies at the Impact House, but the goal is for that to expand, where we're offering this mentorship program to any young adult in our county that has aged out.
Yeah, and Sandy, can you tell us about how many kids in Dane County are considered aged out of the system right now, currently?
Well, from age 18 to 23 is the aged out range, and there's about 150 in our county right now in that.
So right now in that situation. So that's where us as Focus Church family can step up and be servants and become mentors. So you can talk to Kirk and Sandy about becoming a mentor, helping out with this program. We want to step up and serve and just become hands and feet of Jesus for people who just need someone to mentor them and to guide them. And so we want to be that as a Focus Church family.
Definitely. And Kirk and Sandy, since you came here about 6 months ago, you have been doing some legwork for us that's opened some big doors. And just the simple fact that we bought a house and we started remodeling and we said, hey, we're gonna use it to impact foster care, as we got more focus on, hey, we're specifically gonna help young adults who have aged out of foster care, you started sharing this and tried, like, your goal as chaplains and as missionaries to foster care, like, you want to talk to all the social workers. Sure. And so you started conversations, and they've been able to get doors open for us to actually talk to social workers, to share the vision, to share what we're doing. And I want to let you know, the social workers in Dane County are excited to partner with Focus Church, with the Impact House. They are for us, they are with us, they are behind us in what we're doing, even with this being a faith-based program that we're doing.
They might be here this afternoon.
Yeah.
Yes, we've invited them to come out for the open house, and I do hope that they show up. But they're even going to be part of the process of how we select who the residents will be as part of it. So, Kirk, Sandy, we're excited that you are here. We're excited that you're going to be leading the mentorship program based out of Focus Church. Really, we just want to celebrate that you said yes to God. Because you've been on a journey of saying yes, and it's been a journey of trust and faith. But we're
even a journey where they once wanted to, like, live in, you know, South Texas, where it was nice and warm. Sure. And now
they were hoping that God wanted them to move south. But God had other plans to keep them in Wisconsin. And,
well, technically, and we did move south from Toma.
You did move south.
Yes.
I wanted to go way south. I had to wrestle with my flesh for a while, but I said yes to God in the end.
That's good. Will you give it up for Kirk and Sandy Brown, our missionaries, our chaplains to foster care? Now, because they were able to open these doors for meetings, we got to have, for these last several months, input from social workers when we just shared, hey, we have some crazy ideas of this is how we want to run the program, this is what we're doing. They're like, that's awesome. Can we give you some advice over here? And we began listening and hearing, and it really shaped the program that the social workers have given us input. And one of those things that they told us is that with this house, they recommended don't be a landlord, be a program, and have somebody on site to run it, to be there with them. And so that has changed how we're using the house, that half of the house will be five furnished rooms, furnished house that the residents will live in. This will be young ladies between the age of 18 and 23. And then the other side will be a member of our team that will actually live there and run the program, be the program coordinators for it. And we want to introduce them to you here today. And so would you join me in welcoming Dustin and Mandy Ulrich to the stage?
Dustin and Mandy are newlyweds. It's been a whole month that they've been married.
A month, yoo-hoo! There we go. And so as far as their role, so after this weekend, this coming week, you guys are moving into the right side of the house. And it's not just a nice house, but it comes with a high price tag as far as what we need for you to do. And they've said yes. We presented to them and said, hey, will you guys be the coordinators? Will you live on site and help us launch and pioneer this program? And the roles that they're gonna play is first, Mandy is gonna be the program coordinator. So she's working directly with the young ladies that will be in residence there, making sure that we fill the requirements and that the program actually works, that you're gonna be both the sheriff and a friend as far as how it goes. And Mandy, why don't you tell us briefly for a moment, what excites you? What made you say yes to this, that you would say, yeah, this excites me. I want to do this.
I'm really excited to meet these young ladies and to start building relationships with them and then to watch them grow each and every day and just succeed.
That's awesome, and we're thankful that you said yes. I was hoping that you would tell us because I was forced to, you know, because Pastor Ryan and Pastor Shelley made me do this. No, they're very willing. I mean, they were so willing that they signed onto the program for a 10-year term. we made sure there's enough rooms for all the kits that they're going to have soon.
Lots of clapping there.
We just wanted to make them turn red here on stage, as if they were embarrassed enough to be up here, because these two people are not in front of the church kind of people. They're hard workers in the background, and we appreciate that. The role that Dustin's going to play is that he's going to be the facility coordinator for the Impact House. And with that role, the house has to be maintained, and there has to be someone on call that if something happens, you know, the sewer backs up, the lights go off, there's snow in the driveway, and I can't get out. And
just pick the worst thing to happen.
I know. Like, well, that's what he's signing up for. I want to make sure that, you know, we disclose everything with it. But Dustin, you said yes to this because I guess you got married. That's why you have to. No, you said yes. Tell us why. What excites you about doing this role of being the facility coordinator of the Impact House?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is the amount of time and work we've put into this to make it look as nice as it is. I'm excited to keep it looking that way for the success of the people that go through the house.
Definitely, and we know that you're going to take good care of this. There's been a lot of people who have invested in this house financially, with hard sweat equity, with product. There's been so many companies and individuals and contractors that donate. I mean, in just a few hours, we're inviting you to come check out the open house. Like, we want you to come see the house and just see the love and care that's been put into this place, that we're not just, this is not just, hey, here's a house. No, this is a home, right? We almost should rename it Impact Home, but Impact House rolls off the tongue better. We want you to come out and see it. Just know that when you do come between 2 and 4, it's an open house. Know that because of the steps leading up to the home, it's not handicap accessible. But we want to invite you, come see all of it.
Yeah, it's fully furnished because of donations from this family. There's bedding and all the things. You can open the cabinets and see there's dishes ready for the people who are going to live there. It's just really awesome to see all the things that are, have been invested into the home. So we want you to come between 2 and 4, come to the open house. But we also have something else special that we're doing this Wednesday at First Wednesday. We're going to open up the house after we're going to come here for worship and communion, and then we're going to go there and pray over the house. And so it'll be a time just strictly for prayer. It won't be like a tour or anything. It will be a time for prayer. So if you want to join us on First Wednesday, come meet here, and then we'll go over to the house for prayer.
Because it's literally in our backyard.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah. So we'll want you to do that. And then after that time of prayer Wednesday, then this house will become a private residence. And so we want you to respect that the people living there are, that's their home. It will be Mandy and Dustin's home. It will be the residents' home. And so we want you to just, you know, maybe not visit them. Don't drop by. Don't come over and be like, hey, I'm here to hang out with you, or you want to make me some dinner. It'll be their home. And so we want to just say after this week, that residence is off limits to us unless invited over.
Mandy, as you lead this program and you're going to work hands-on with these ladies, which we're going to have the selection process, the application process here for the rest of this month. We hope to actually move in the first residents by July here in the next month. What do you wish that they all knew about this? Or something? Was there anything that you'd want to say to them?
I think just as we're all super excited about the Impact House and meeting these young ladies who are going to start living there and just the future of it all, I think just remember that when they do come to church and we meet them for the first time, welcome them into our family, but also respect them and don't overwhelm them or bombard them. So just, you know,
be normal.
Yes.
Be normal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't ask them a bunch of questions. They're just young adults coming to our church. And so that's what we want to remember.
That we do not want to put any type of classification, stigma of, oh, those people sitting over there are the Impact House people. No. Those people over there are human beings who need Jesus. That's it. Just like anyone else. All of us. We all need Jesus. It's just everybody is part of the family, and that's what we want to make sure happens. Now, open house, we got First Wednesday. You know what? We're going to invite Kirk and Sandy back to the stage and Abe back to the stage, because this dream, this idea, this home is not, like I said, our dream. It's not our plans. It's something that God had for us. And so that means that house is God's house. It belongs to him. And so we're going to pray over the house here today. We're going to pray and dedicate it, saying, God, it's your place. It's your space. That it's a place that we've all been a part of making it a reality. But we want God to really move in people's life. That we really want there to be an impact. So as we pray up here, we want you to pray out there as we dedicate the Impact House to God. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful that you want to make a difference here in Dane County, specifically with those who are in the foster care system and out of the foster care system. You directed us that we would use a home to do this. And God, we pray that this home, as we open it up today, that it would live up to its name, that it would truly be a place where lives are impacted. God, I pray that as you have already predetermined who the residents are, who's going to be impacted by this house, God, I pray that by being a part of this program, that they're able to dream about their future. God, as they are surrounded around people who say, I want to love you, I want to help be a mentor, God, I pray that they see that you do have a future for them. God, your word says that you have plans to give a hope and a future, that you know them. And God, I pray that these young adults who are part of the Impact House, Lord, that their lives would be changed, their family trees would be changed, that what has happened in their past won't matter, but God, that they would look forward to their future and their future that they have in you. God, we pray that for every person who has done anything to make this house a reality. God, as much as they have been a blessing to us to get to this moment, we pray that you would bless them doubly. God, we pray that you would bless them and what they have done. God, we pray that as we open this home would be a home of peace. God, that anyone who sets foot on this property would say, there's something different here, and it'd be your presence. God, we pray that you would be in this space, that you would use it for your glory. Lord, that lives would be impacted. And God, as we develop the program, as we partner with our county, as we make a difference, as we make an impact, God, I pray that we would be open to where you want to lead us, where you want to guide us, where you are opening doors, where you are making a way. God, we want to hear the phrase more often, this doesn't normally happen. Lord, we know that you are in this. You are for this. God, we're doing this with and for you. So God, today we dedicate and open the first ever Impact House. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you can't open a new space without cutting the ribbon. And so as we've all been virtually transported, let's get the ribbon out here. Let's get, whoa, look at these scissors. A ginormous scissors. Pastor Shalee has them, like, they're sharp. I'm not allowed to run with them. We've all been a part of doing this. We've been transported to the virtual home here on the screen. This is it. We've done this 2 times before. This is the last one. You guys are a part of it. Next is to go see it, and then it's next is to open up the house and have residents. So you're here. This is a momentous occasion. This is a defining moment. That you have joined us today. We hope that you make plans to join us this afternoon to just see all the work that's gone into this Impact House. But we've been talking today about serving, that this is a part of following Jesus, that this is what, that if you say, hey, God's the leader of my life, then this is what we do. We help other people. We serve. That Jesus, even in his moments before his death, said, hey guys, I know I've done all these cool things, but let me show you the real thing here. And he washed feet. But you know what? Before we can even serve like Jesus, we've got to know Jesus. That's the most important thing. And I know that this could be the day that you say yes to God and you say, wow, I really need God in my life. And I want to help you with that. So I'm going to invite everyone in this room to close their eyes, to bow their heads, even those watching online. I'm going to talk to you for a moment, and then I'm going to pray with you. See, the reality is that what we've been doing and talking today about making an impact for young adults who have aged out of foster care really stems from a greater love, a love that God had for you and me, where he saw us in our lostness, he saw us in our sin, and he wanted to make a way where there was no way, where he did the ultimate thing of love. The Bible says that God loved you and me so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us, to die for our sins, so that we can be saved and set free, so that we can be a part of his family, so that we can live life with hope and purpose and mission, that we can serve others and we can help point people back to God. The Bible describes it as a life that's better than we can possibly imagine. But we're not talking a life of butterflies and rainbows where everything's just happy and good all the time. We're talking about life where we're not alone, where there is meaning and purpose, that there's stuff bigger than ourselves, that if we would say yes to God, God has plans and purposes for us that we can't even imagine. But it all starts at the beginning with saying yes and saying, God, the thing I can give you right now is me. You may say, Pastor, I want to give God me today, make him the leader of my life. What do I need to do? Well, the Bible describes that we've got to have a conversation with God, and we simply call that conversation prayer. In that prayer, we tell God that, God, I recognize that I'm not worthy, that I do have sin, and it's highly appropriate to say, I'm sorry. We've got to believe that God loved us, that he sent his son Jesus, that Jesus did pay the price for our sins. And finally, we got to go all in to say yes to God. Say, God, I'm making you the leader of my life. I'm making you the boss of me. I'm putting you in charge of me. Your lead, I follow. And that's where everything changes. I want to help you with this prayer. So what I'm going to do here today is I'm going to say this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. I'm going to encourage you to say it, repeating after me out loud. But don't worry, you're not praying alone today, whether you're here in person, watching online, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us. See, this is the most important thing we do beyond anything else. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. Let this be your moment where everything changes. Let's pray right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.